I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In his budget address earlier this week, Governor Phil Scott made a suggestion that heretofore had not been much of a conversation in Vermont as we look at ways to clean up Lake Champlain and other waterways. A cleanup which, by the way, is mandated by the federal government and is currently costing Vermont about $25 million a year just in state money.
I believe there's a more innovative solution. There is a large market for phosphorus in the energy, fertilizer, and compost industries. And manufacturers purchase phosphorus and raw organic materials for their products. My administration is exploring how the state can help create a commercial enterprise that captures a large amount of Vermont's excess phosphorus and converts it to a wholesale or retail product.
A commercial enterprise that captures phosphorus and turns it into something that other people want to buy. Okay, but how and where and who? Basically, we're going to spend some time today on the five W's of retail phosphorus. Joining us for this conversation is Eric Roy. He's an assistant professor of environmental sciences at UVM's Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources. He studies the dynamics of nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen in food systems and the environment. Hi, Professor Roy. Nice to have you here.
Hi. Thanks very much for having me.
I am hoping that you can give us a quick refresher course here before we get into some of the details of phosphorus capture and how it then is made into a retail product. But let's start with the very basic. What is phosphorus?
Okay. So phosphorus is really the stuff of life in many ways. Phosphorus plays so many roles in terms of biochemistry that's too many to talk about today, but phosphorus is in our DNA. Phosphorus is in phospholipids that are in cell walls. The P in ATP, which is the energy carrier in the cell, that's a phosphate. Phosphorus, really, every living organism on Earth, plant or animal, needs phosphorus to survive. We're all after it in one form or another.
It's in our teeth and bones. It's a key component in building bones, right?
Yeah. In fact, that's as concentrated as it gets biologically is the phosphorus in bones.
And you said it was in our pee, and you were actually talking about initials, but it's in our pee too?
Yes, very much so. So it's in the everyone had some phosphorus for breakfast this morning and whatever they ate, and it's moving through their bodies, and they will excrete it in urine, mostly in urine, but also in their feces later today.
Excellent. So phosphorus is everywhere, basically. Mm-hmm. What about in concentrated form? Where is it found beyond just, you know, sort of in everything, everywhere, all the time?
Right. So that's the paradox with phosphorus, is that it is everywhere, but it's in everywhere in very diluted forms. So from a human perspective, what we've been doing for a while now is seeking out these really enriched deposits of phosphate, which are limited around the world. And in order to access that, we have to mine that material and convert it into a fertilizer product. And, you know, we're not unique in this. There's other organisms that are trying to get at this phosphorus. And even though it's everywhere, it's not necessarily in a form that's available to them. So there's limited amounts of these resources that we can actually harness.
I understand there's a lot of phosphorus in Florida.
Yeah, Bone Valley, not too far from Tampa, is a famous spot. Florida has a lot of the U.S. phosphate mining activity. There's also some in North Carolina, Utah, and Idaho are some other places where this material is mined. And I think it's an important thing to note that this material, this phosphate rock, which we mine to turn into fertilizer, we can consider it a finite resource because it takes a very long time to form. And it's only located in a handful of places around the world in large quantities. In fact, 70% of the phosphate rock resources that we the phosphate rock reserves that the USGS lists, over 70% of those are in Morocco and Western Sahara. So it's in these certain locations where we have this rich phosphate rock deposit that's formed over a longer geologic time. Now we're going in and mining those, and that's really fueling the entire food system.
In fact, for a little while, there was some worry that we were nearing peak phosphorus, and now there's a little bit less concern about that.
A little bit less. I think it's important not to be a catastrophist about this type of thing, but there was a study released in 2009 that kind of introduced the concept of a peak phosphorus to the world at large. And the findings were a little scary that within 35 years or so, we could be at a point where we could be at max production and then it would decline from there. And some of your listeners probably are familiar with the concept of peak oil. So it was a similar thinking. And after that, there's been some updates in the amount of reserves out there. It's important to note that we're discovering new deposits in different places. So the concern about running out of phosphorus, I think it can be a little misguided. I think it's more important to note that some countries don't have their own phosphate rock resources. So there's a geopolitical element. There's also can be price spikes in this material, which have implications for the whole food system, including food prices, which tend to impact poor communities more than anyone else. So having a secure supply of phosphorus is essential for society. And even if we're not going to run out in the next 30 years, I think we need to think about it very carefully because there's absolutely no substitute for this material.
So, Professor Roy, we've talked about how this is a natural mineral. It's mm-hmm. in all of us. It's a building block for life. In fact, people are worried about running out of phosphorus. And yet in Vermont, the conversation is about too much phosphorus in the wrong places. So how do we get from something that is so valuable and so necessary to something that is a pollution problem?
Right. And depending on where you are on Earth, you're going to have a very different perspective of phosphorus. I think it's important for listeners to understand that what we hear about phosphorus as a pollutant here in Vermont so much. And as a biogeochemist, that I kind of shake in my chair when I hear that because it's such an essential element for life. But there are other places in the world where the lack of phosphorus availability in soils is directly contributing to malnutrition and poverty. So this is, you know, again, an issue that is very complicated at the global scale. But as we've kind of built up our food system in the United States and elsewhere, part of the reason we've increased productivity is because this is a limiting nutrient for food production. So we've imported more and more of this into our food system so we can produce more and more food to feed more and more people. And, you know, there's inefficiencies along the way where we lose phosphorus to the environment. It doesn't end up in the food where we would like it to. It instead ends up in waterways. And much like it's essential for us, it's also essential for the algae in the lakes. So when they get more and more of this, it allows them to have a population boom.
So it's not so much that phosphorus itself is a problem in and of itself. It's that we're basically sort of importing too much of it, mm-hmm. not exporting it. That's the way the Agency of Natural Resources thinks about it. Mm-hmm. And it's getting into places that it's not actually helpful and beneficial to our environment and to what we want the state to be when it's in the lake causing blue-green algae blooms. Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it as a resource out of place.
All right. So here we can now take this turn to this idea of commoditizing the phosphorus in Vermont, whether it's directly getting it, extracting it out of manure or somehow extracting it out of our waterways. This is being done in some places. So there is extraction of phosphorus, obviously. It is a commodity. How is it being done?
So, you know, phosphate rock is an amazing material, what I was talking about before, what we use to create fertilizer. But even to make fertilizer, we then have to use sulfuric acid to digest this material and create this chemical solution that we can then use as a fertilizer. And then it's spread out and becomes more what we'd say diffuse in the environment. So the real challenge is how do you collect it back and package it back up into a form that is concentrated enough to be useful and valuable and also to transport. So, you know, in Vermont, there's a lot of phosphorus moving that ends up being in manure. And so one challenge to working with that people are definitely making some progress on is manure has a lot of water in it. So we can't just ship the manure long distances because essentially you'd be burning a lot of diesel to move water a very long way. So the challenge is, how do you get the phosphorus out of that material? How do you concentrate it into a form that somebody's going to want to buy that's going to actually be valuable to them down the road? So that's very challenging, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. And manure, you know, what's happening most now is a focus on physical separation because a lot of the phosphorus is in the solids. So if you can get the water out, you can then work with the solids, and that's an easier material to work with. And then there's, you know, you can actually increase the amount of phosphorus in the solids by adding polymers or other coagulants. There's also chemical methods, but again, any of these processes have inputs to make them happen. So from a sustainability perspective, we have to think about how can we efficiently do this to create a material that, again, for instance, there are chemical methods where we could capture the phosphorus, but it would be so tightly bound at that point, it wouldn't be useful to a farmer somewhere else. So there's a lot of nuance to how we do this that we're still working through. But there is some technology that is emerging.
Are companies doing this with human waste? Because, I mean, a lot of the human waste in cities, for example, does get shipped out and shipped really long distances mm-hmm. away from the city to a place where it can be dehydrated and mm-hmm. Processed and dealt with. So could we use that technology?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of co-learning happening between the wastewater industry and the agriculture industry. This is happening in wastewater industry. There are now full-scale wastewater plants that have a process where they're many of them use a process called struvite precipitation, where they actually add magnesium and they precipitate out a fertilizer product that they then market and are able to sell that product. But these technologies are kind of, I think the wastewater industry is probably a little ahead of the agricultural industry. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to learn from what's happened in wastewater. And in some ways, manure is an easier feedstock to deal with than what's coming through a wastewater treatment plant. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities I think there's some companies that are working across both sectors.
We got a note from Dwayne who says, does the governor want to sell the phosphorus to a company that will make it into fertilizer so that we could buy it from them? Then it would run off into the lake so we could clean it out again and sell it back to them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the state's thinking about the mass balance, about ultimately, if we keep having more phosphorus coming into the Champlain watershed than is leaving in some form, there's an accumulation that's happening, and then that can be a slow process. I think, you know, ultimately, if we're going to have recycling in the system, we would hope that offsets bringing more into the system. Because if you're recycling and you're still bringing a lot in, that could just be adding more to the landscape, especially if we're talking about wastewater, where we would take it from where it was maybe being biosolids that were landfilled. Now they're going onto the landscape, and we're still importing all this fertilizer. So ultimately, I think there's really three things we need to think about, and that's reducing the amount that comes in, so source reduction being the first one. How do we recycle what we have effectively? And then for other phosphorus that's on the landscape and difficult to control, how do we kind of create structures to keep it from getting to our waterways? So really all of those strategies would be the most effective working together.
When you talk about pinpointing the manure as a place where if we were trying to extract the phosphorus and turn it into a retail product or a commercial product, that's where we would do it. But, you know, as we've just been talking about, you know, phosphorus is a key element in fertilizer, and farmers like to spread manure on their fields to capture some of that phosphorus to help the soil. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't we rather capture the phosphorus as it runs off the landscape into the waterways than sort of take it from the manure, which might then have a farmer be adding more fertilizer, which is just putting more phosphorus into the landscape? Or am I just not understanding this?
Yeah, I think it is a little confusing, so don't feel bad. But yeah, it's I think it's actually harder to get it once it's in the water.
Well, sure.
Yeah, so that.
But if we get it from the manure and then we're still bringing it in fertilizer, mm-hmm. we haven't really fixed any problem.
Yeah, right. So the idea would be if you're recycling within the same place that you're not bringing as much in. And if you are bringing in, maybe instead you can export more out. But I think the important thing from the farmer perspective, thinking about managing their soil fertility, the other nutrient that is, you know, often talked about as both being essential for life and a pollutant is nitrogen. And so the ratio of nitrogen into phosphorus in manure is such that as farmers are trying to meet their crops' nitrogen demands with manure, they can end up adding more phosphorus than they need to.
So there's a more efficient way to get phosphorus.
Right. So in some ways, it would be helpful to a farmer to be able to take some of the phosphorus out so they can still use that nitrogen. Because with the nutrient management planning, there are constraints on where they can spread manure based on the phosphorus that's in that material. So this could also help them, you know, use what they have more efficiently on their farms, potentially, if it's done well.
Let's go to Victor calling in from Concord. Hi, Victor.
Hi. Your expert there should probably knows the answer to this question pretty quickly. When you look at that, the big mine in Florida that's shipping millions of tons out of there on rail cars all over the country, and we're getting some of that somewhere, you know, when you buy super phosphate or any kind of 10-10-10 fertilizer, getting spread on fields, the critters are eating it, and it goes in the manure. If we collected 100% of the groundwater that's the runoff that's got phosphate in it that's gone into Lake Champlain, the ultimate had collection systems, and the soluble, you have so little phosphate percentage-wise, the dewatering process, it seems to me like you probably could have billions of dollars in recovery plants and not even recover the equivalent of one rail car of phosphate fertilizer.
Yeah, Victor, so, you know, we're getting now into how would this work in Vermont, and not just how would it work, like how would we actually do the extraction, but when you start to look at, is it worth it, and what's it going to gain us versus, you know, how much is it going to cost? To Victor's point, you know, is this economically feasible, even if it's physically feasible?
Yeah, I think the economics are challenging but not impossible, depending on what you're starting with. I think Victor's example, the economics are impossible. That's for sure. But I would just say that it is difficult to compete with an operation like phosphate rock mining that is at the scale that it is. There are the economies of scale that come with it. But I think it's important that we consider the total costs of phosphorus from the mining and the production. And let's also remember that there are pollution problems associated with that are happening in Florida and other places, to the distribution of that material, its use on farms, but then the cost we're paying on the back end to try to clean up these environmental problems that result from there being too much phosphate in our waterways. So if you look at the whole system, I think it's still an open debate, and we have a lot to learn about what's the most efficient way, both from an economic and a sustainability perspective, in terms of minimizing environmental damages as well as costs across that entire system. So that's just an important thing to consider.
Yeah, and to your point, the idea that you know, we are trying to eliminate and to remove some of the phosphorus from our waterways, but how do we do that, and at what point, and, you know, moving into the future, are we talking about trying to get rid of phosphorus that's already in the Lake Champlain Basin, already sitting in the silt, or are we trying to stop that sort of point source pollution now and into the future? When they found out we were doing this program, the Agency of Natural Resources got in touch with us. Julie Moore is Secretary of ANR, and she's on the line with us now to explain a little bit more about how she and the administration are seeing all of this and what might happen in the future. Secretary Moore, it's nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
So, you know, Professor Roy has been telling us a little bit about how extraction works and, you know, how it might happen on the landscape in Vermont. Do you have a plan for this already? The governor suggested that it was an idea that he was pursuing.
It's something we've been talking about at some considerable length for a number of months now. And we think that, as Professor Roy alluded to, there are a number of very exciting technologies that are sort of on that edge of being able to cost-effectively extract phosphorus from manure and create options to better manage it and put it where it's needed most, as opposed to simply applying it to the ground. And we're really excited about the opportunity to seek entrepreneurial solutions to this challenge of mitigating phosphorus with the hope that they might simultaneously create some business opportunities.
So are you looking at this as a way eventually to make money for the state, or are you thinking phosphorus extraction and this entrepreneurial idea is a way to recoup some of the costs of what we are already going to have to be doing on phosphorus pollution in Vermont?
I see it as potentially another tool in the toolbox. As Professor Roy alluded to, there is a significant imbalance in our watershed, in our state currently, in that we're bringing in more phosphorus in food for people and animals, as well as in fertilizer, than we send out of the state in agricultural products, including milk, meat, and other things.
And out-migration of people.
Right. And because of that, you know, every year there's more phosphorus sort of in Vermont's environment. We have a rich suite of best management practices and conservation measures that we use in the agricultural setting, the developed land setting, to try and help manage that phosphorus where it lies, whether it's in our yards or farm fields or on our parking lots. But ultimately, a piece of that solution has to be to get to a point of balance, if not a point of being a net exporter of phosphorus out of the state.
What about the dollars, though? When you talk about a point of balance and a net exporter, I'm talking about are we talking about making money, or are we talking about mitigating the costs that we're already spending? I know you'd like the state to spend less on this pollution plan than we have been. So is this a part of it? I mean, where's the economics of this?
Right. I mean, what we're looking at is that this is a cost-effective opportunity to achieve our water quality goals. Based on everything we've heard, we've talked to a number of different developers that that have projects either conceptually or past the conceptual point in this space, and the economics just aren't quite there yet. But we're hopeful that there may be an opportunity for the state to provide just enough incentive to get these things to the point of being economically viable, being able to operate in a way that's sustainable and help contribute to that water quality goal. So I don't know what the final bottom line dollar figure will be, but also recognize that best management practices and conservation measures, absent some way to get us to a watershed balance for phosphorus, aren't going to allow us to achieve our goals.
And in fact, you plan on asking entrepreneurs to pitch the state, find a way to come up with a pitch of what you would do, how you would make this work, and the state has some seed money that will be made available to a few people to find a project that that might actually do what you're looking for.
Exactly. We're hoping to cast a wide net. We know that there are probably a half a dozen, if not more, folks engaged in this sort of thinking and work in Vermont right now. And I think it's important to keep in mind that this challenge isn't unique to Vermont. The Great Lakes have challenges with phosphorus pollution, as do many other smaller freshwater bodies. And so people are thinking about how to do this work. We're pleased to look at what's been done to date and sort of see if there's a way that this, as I say, the state can kind of tip the balance in economic favor of some of these options and get them stood up at a scale that could have a measurable impact on water quality.
I'm looking at a document your office sent over this morning about how this might work, and you're calling it the P project, to capture, process, package, and sell excess phosphorus. It's a several phases long project, but part of it would be to offer about $250,000 in proof of concept funding to 3 to 5 projects, and then, you know, keep looking at this down the line. Professor Roy, do you have any questions for Secretary Moore, since we have her here and have you here?
Sure. It's nice to hear your thoughts on this, Secretary Moore. I was just wondering, in the governor's budget speech, he talked a little bit about moving away from the building infrastructure to capture phosphorus and moving towards this idea of recycling phosphorus. And the one concern I had about that was kind of the either-or approach. So I was just wondering, at a state level, how you're thinking of, are you thinking about using both of these strategies kind of in combination to address this problem, or is it really a shift from one to the other?
No, it's a both. You know, ultimately, it may be that if we're enormously successful in phosphorus capture, it could offset the need for certain BMPs or conservation measures on down the line. But there's no intention to deviate from that current course, in particular, because this is really leading edge work, and it hasn't been put up at a scale that would allow us to have confidence that it could have that kind of significant and measurable impact. So there's quite a bit of legwork yet to do to know how much value this opportunity has. But we think it's exciting, and frankly think that there's a need sort of across the board to continue to look for opportunities to innovate, to build on the foundation provided by the best management practices that are tried and true, but to see what other solutions there may be to help us reach those water quality goals.
That's Julie Moore, Secretary of the Agency of Natural Resources. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Secretary Moore.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We're talking about how to create a system of phosphorus extraction in Vermont. We are a net importer of phosphorus, and there needs to be a better balance. And so part of it is pollution cleanup. And as we heard from Secretary Moore, the state is looking at ways that maybe there could be some economic benefit from this problem that we currently have. Let's see if we can get John on the line. John is calling in from Colchester. Hey, John, you there?
Yeah, I am. And I probably want to take the conversation just a little bit off track, but we're talking about agriculture primarily, and I'm wondering, everybody seems to be being driven away from residential single-use sewage systems into municipal large scale, which eventually has a pipe running out into the lake treated. But I'm wondering how much of this phosphorus impact comes from us. We dump a lot of stuff into the lake, and how much of it is phosphorus?
John, thanks for the question. And Professor Roy, you know, when we talk about this phosphorus problem, one of the reasons we do focus on agriculture is because the phosphorus runoff into the waterways is the lion's share of it comes from agriculture and not from our sewage treatment plants. But John's question is a good one, and maybe you can dive deeper into that.
Yeah, and the numbers that we're in, some recent reports within the last few years, agriculture is contributing around 40% of the phosphorus to the lake from the Vermont portion of the Champlain Basin, and wastewater treatment facilities are at about 4%. So there's an order of magnitude difference there, but in other watersheds around the country, you know, that could be completely reversed. So this is one reason why this idea of extracting nutrients not only from agricultural waste, but from human wastewater can be very important. And I think it's something we should consider here as well. I don't, you know, even though wastewater treatment facilities only contribute 4%, it's where is that phosphorus going? Maybe it's in a more sensitive area. So it's something we should consider. And depending on the plant, there are options, you know, at big scales for big plants that are considering this as part of their upgrades as they move on into the future. But there's also here in Vermont, we actually have one of the most innovative projects for decentralized systems being run by an institute called the Rich Earth Institute down in Brattleboro, where they're looking at more decentralized ways. How can we separate the nutrients out of human waste? And a lion's share of the nutrients are actually in human urine. So how can we actually capture those nutrients and again, create them into something valuable? So moving away from the traditional kind of septic system model, which has its flaws, but, you know, has served us for a while now. Is there an alternative on a decentralized level where we could actually be recouping some of these nutrients, creating value without letting them get into the lake?
And when we talk about the waste treatment facilities contributing about 4% of the phosphorus to Lake Champlain in particular, mm-hmm. you know, given how many people are on private septic systems, is that not included? I mean, are we looking at a slightly larger problem than just a 4% issue?
Yeah, I'd have to dig into those numbers more in terms of how much they're accounting for that. But, you know, one thing in Vermont, we don't have a ton of people. So that's, you know, if we get to the eastern seaboard, you know, these issues with septic and wastewater treatment facilities start to dwarf everything else. So, but I don't think we should ignore that, because really any phosphorus we can keep from getting to the lake helps contribute to alleviating the problems there eventually. So I think we should target all of these areas. And I think thinking about not only capturing the phosphorus and disposing of it somehow, but also, is there a way we can pull this out? And that's somewhere the technology is moving. And I think it's promising that there's some energy in Vermont that's moving in that direction as well.
So you think it's a good idea to be looking at this overall?
Overall, I think it's a very good idea. I was excited in some ways when I heard about this, because my research has actually been moving in this direction, because I think that if we don't include this as part of our toolbox, as Secretary Moore said, we're relying on just trying to trap it around the landscape. We're still, you know, bringing more in. I think thinking about recycling as well as reducing the amount we're bringing in has to be part of the overall big picture system solution.
And you said very pointedly to Secretary Moore that your concern is that this becomes our idea of this will be our solution rather than all of the other ways that we're looking at dealing with phosphorus and dealing with pollution and dealing with prevention, if we're going to go into all the P's. Mm-hmm. Are you convinced by her response?
I thought what she said was very promising, exactly what I would think, what I was hoping she would say, I guess you would say. I think part of the flaw in the current strategy has been putting our eggs in one basket with trying to trap it on the landscape. I think that's a good strategy, but it needs to be complemented. I hope we don't just flip from that to another singular strategy that is going to have some flaws as well. I think it's the combination that's probably the most powerful.
Do you have a proposal? Are you going to be pitching for that $250,000 seed money?
Yeah, I think I probably will.
Good to know. Yeah. Eric Roy is Assistant Professor of Environmental Sciences at UVM's Rubenstein School of Environment and Natural Resources. Thanks very much for being on the program.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was great to be here.